Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in, sending you all the love and light today, folks, as we enter into the rhythm of our morning together. Now, if you are joining us for the first time, this is Turnout Radio, and yes, it's true. We have moved from airing on Wednesday afternoons, and we're now broadcasting across the airwaves on Saturday mornings, bringing you interviews from featured guests which center on critical conversations in dance while exploring the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. And as shared, I'm your host, Nicole. I am a dance educator, clinical counselor, and the artistic director of Inika Dance Industries, and I'm looking so forward to our morning journey together. And now, coming up on today's program, my guest has been known to say the following: listen with intent and then problem solve where necessary. The outstanding founder and artistic director of Coco Collective, Colette Coco Murray, is in the house. And we're going to be discussing her work and contributions in the latest publication of Arts-Based Pedagogies, Integrating Culturally Relevant Creative Processes in K-12 Education. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Colette Coco Murray. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Colette Coco Murray, is a multi-award-winning artist, scholar, dance educator, and cultural arts programmer. Colette received the 2023 National Award for Outstanding Leadership in Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion from the National Dance Education Organization. She is pursuing a PhD in dance studies, focusing on dance education in the Canadian African diasporic dance sector and anti-racist dance pedagogies. Colette is published in dance media and academic journals, and as an emerging dance scholar, she presents research on various panels and international conferences. She is the artistic director of Coco Collective, which offers culturally responsive projects connecting participants, organizations, and schools to African and Caribbean arts. Miss Coco Murray is her mobile dance education business. Colette performs Caribbean folklore and West African dance styles such as stilt walking. And it is my pleasure to welcome her back to the show. Good morning, Coco. Welcome to Turnout Radio.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm better now. I'm better now because you're in the house. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm just navigating just another day of busyness, but glad to be here with all of you.
Well, the navigation is real, isn't it?
Really, it is real.
The navigation is navigating, right?
Yes.
Well, I am so glad to be with you this morning. It's been some time since we've had an opportunity to sit down on the show together. So I'm looking forward to exploring with you today on many different fronts. But before I do that, I mentioned at the top of the show that you've been known to say, and I love this, listen with intent and then problem solve where necessary. What inspired that mantra?
A number of things. What people may not know is I work as a non-academic employee at a university. So I work with a diverse group of students, faculty, management, etc., deans, of course. So a lot of moving parts. So whenever I'm reading an email or someone approaches me, I have to really just listen with intent. And then I have to recognize, am I just giving a suggestion? Am I just listening? Or am I going to problem solve? So that requires that type of multifaceted navigation with throughout the day. So as opposed to I'm going to react and then respond, I find I just pause, listen with intent, and then navigate accordingly. And I find the day goes by much smoother when I do that.
The intentional listening resonates with me, Coco, because I consider the possibilities of greater communication, more effective communication that can come from that, more effective engagement when we do implement that intentional listening that allows for reflection and allows for retaining what is shared with us.
Absolutely, because if we're just listening to respond, we may miss some of what is being shared with us. And if we don't even ask questions to clarify right after, we may miss even more information, more informational context. So even the context is important, which is why I would listen intently. So then I know, okay, I could quickly refer this or give this suggestion or pause. And if I don't know, I'm okay with saying I don't know. And I could seek out to find an answer. So I find I carry that in my personal life as well. Let me listen intently first, make sure I have all of the facts, all of the content, and then I decide how I'm going to proceed thereafter.
Yes. I find through the act of listening that I get a greater opportunity to receive and understand tone during a conversation.
Yes.
And you have been working within the university space for many years.
Decades. Decades. I would say, to be honest, it might be 25 years where I currently am. It's about maybe 22.
Outside of your work in the university space, we of course know that you have done extraordinary work in dance spaces. But before we explore that further, one of the things that people may not know about you is that you have previously played instruments. Do tell.
Yes. people may not know that, of course, elementary school, middle school, I did do cello for about 3 years. When I left high school, and I would say in my early 20s, I started to play steel pan. And then when I was younger, it started with the piano, but it kind of ended because I found my interest in terms of dance. So I didn't want to pursue like a piano or music career. So I kind of found my way and found my home in the dance environment.
Did any of those explorations with music inform your dance practice or support the work that you do today?
I could say indirectly yes, because once you play instruments, there is a learning and a musicality involved there. And given that I'm in practices that do involve live instruments, I found I had to just find another way to understand a musical language. So I would say it was transferable. I find now that if I am to pick up an instrument again, it might find its way back. It might not, but because I haven't practiced it for so long, so I would say my musicality ear has enhanced over the years. So I would say it has supported in many ways.
Absolutely. I understand that because I do reflect upon my time of playing an instrument, which I'll get to in a moment, which may surprise you, Coco. was that my understanding of rhythms, nuances in music, and its relationship with dance definitely became deeper. And so, what many folks may not know is I used to play the accordion.
Okay, I would never have guessed that. And was that in middle school or high school?
Wow, this is going way back, way, way back. This would have been in between the ages of maybe 9 and about 14.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was quite young.
Okay. And
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see pictures one day.
Well, I wish that I could say that there are pictures that were captured, but I don't think that we have any.
Okay.
So, yeah,
Sorry,
those.
audience, no evidence.
No evidence, but I will do a deep dive and a search to see if I can find something for you the next time that you join us on the show.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Well, as we're exploring music, one of the other things that I also wanted to explore, which I really enjoy speaking about with guests on the show, are self-care practices that you do beyond the stage. And I was so pleased to learn prior to our interview, Coco, you had shared with me about what you do when you are off stage, when you are off camera, and how you take care of yourself. So share a little bit about that with us, please. How do you explore self-care?
Yes, being the busy individual with multiple hats, when I have my alone time, I predominantly may be on a laptop. I may be reading or a journal article, or it could be a book. But I find in those moments, you know what? I'm going to do a facial. So I would incorporate getting that facial done. While I'm doing that deep dive into my reading content, or when I unwind, sometimes I like to look at a really good documentary series, a documentary film, because I guess that's the ongoing student in me. I like to learn about a lot of things. Doesn't necessarily have to be music related, but sometimes I do like watching a documentary about an artist, just to learn about their experience, but also on other topics as well.
Is there any documentary that you've seen of recent that has really sat with you?
I've seen a couple over the holidays when I was taking a pause. I actually saw a documentary series about the Tragically Hip, the band that's from Kingston, Ontario, and learned about their history, their trajectory, and it was a very moving series to learn about who they were. And what I really appreciated was, although they navigated it a lot across Canadian spaces and developed their craft, and when they got signed, it's always that conversation around success is only seems to be validated if you get success in America as a performer. And what I appreciated about the Tragically Hip is that that didn't matter. It wasn't predicated on making it in the United States. They were well known across Canada, and they really spoke to Canadian contexts and specific references about the Canadian experience within their music. So I respected that, and as well as the story about their lead singer and what has happened, and just the trajectory of what happened over the course of his life until he had passed, and all of the work that he did within the Indigenous communities as well. So it was a really good series. I appreciated that one.
Wonderful. A series that explored the essence and the influence of Tragically Hip.
Yes. Yeah, about becoming an artist, the friendships that were formed, how they navigated their career, and of course the content around writing the albums, and of course again how media covered them, but also it's just that understanding that artist perspective of being
Right.
a Canadian artist and how they navigated their successes and their challenges as well.
And that was the Tragically Hip No Dress rehearsal.
Yes, I think it was like a several part series, so it was really good.
Well, next on my list, the Tragically Hip No Dress rehearsal. That's going to be on my list.
And another recent documentary that I've seen, it was about Luther Vandross. So that was a really excellent documentary as well, learning about, of course, his trajectory. And I learned things that I did not know as well.
Yes. I'm looking forward to watching that one. That was Luther Never Too Much.
Yes.
Yes. And that one also explores Luther Vandross's background and rise within his work, the relationships as well, and collaborations that were built throughout the course of his career. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. So don't tell me what happened.
I won't.
Thank you, Coco. Again, another documentary for my list. More with Colette Coco Murray coming up.
Thank you.
Coco, I'd like to go now to talking about the latest publication of Arts-Based Pedagogies, which I'm so excited about. This publication merges theory and practice, providing practical implementation of teaching, learning, evaluation, assessments, and much more. And you were a contributing author in the publication, and in particular in chapter 3 of the book, a chapter entitled Integrating Anti-Racist Collaboration with African Diasporic Teaching Dance Artists. Tell us about the central conversation point in the chapter that you had contributed.
Yes, so this happens to be my second book chapter, but it's the first chapter in a scholarly publication, so it's a bit of a milestone for me. So I'm excited. And this chapter is really centralizing the voice of the guest dance practitioner, who is from the African diasporic dance community. I feel that it's an important conversation because we are invited as guests to teach in classrooms or to teach in schools. And it's a conversation that's really going to look at how are the artists being treated when they come into the school? How do the artists prepare themselves to come into the school, as well as what will they teach through their methods and approaches? And then also, what's the intention of the school of bringing their artistic practice into the classroom? So I want all sides, whether it's the school, the primary teacher, and even the artist, to really reflect on their roles and reflect on their intentions and reflect on their approaches, because at the center of that is the student learner, and diverse students at that. So when we have artistic practices of different genres that arrive into the classroom, I'm speaking specifically about these dance practices coming from the African diaspora, and how can that be integrated into the classroom? So a collaborative relationship where we understand and unpack our biases and decolonize the dance curricula is part of this conversation as well.
Excellent. And let's explore that further, shall we, Coco? Because prior to today's interview, you and I had a conversation about approaches to pedagogy. Mm-hmm. I had learned very early in my career about how critical it was and is to have a deep understanding of my approach to teaching practice and how it also impacts the dissemination of curriculum to students in classrooms and the well-being of students and artists in the classroom space. What are your thoughts on the importance of educators having an understanding of their approach to pedagogy and teaching practice?
We as educators coming into any visiting classroom, we have a responsibility as to what approach we're going to bring, because there is a curricula that the school or the classroom is following. And if we're coming to bring something to that table, what does that approach look like? Because at the end of the day, the students is who we're servicing. So it's important for us to think about our strategies and what our teaching beliefs are, because we are coming from different cultures, different knowledge systems. So we have different methods of teaching using the arts in order to reach that student learner. And then they have skills that they can learn from our experience, but we have to understand what our teaching strategies are and how it can influence students. So it's just about having the guest dance educator reflect critically, and it's an evolving practice to reflect on one's pedagogy. So that's the conversation I'm trying to bring to the dance arts educator that visits the classroom.
I appreciate the fact that you share that it's an evolving practice. What also comes to mind as you're sharing is the determining of what an individual's, or in this case, an educator's practice is, how does one determine if they don't know what their approach to practice or teaching practice is? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we have methods of how we may teach a dance practice because we draw from how we were taught that same practice. But when it comes to teaching, developing a teaching pedagogy, like you said, you've gone through experiences where you've been with other educators and maybe been through learning opportunities where you're reading materials, you're reading a curriculum format that kind of talks about this. Some of us have dance practices where, you know, there weren't books written about this. We're coming from knowledge systems of these artistic practices, and we are developing or maybe repeating how we were taught. So this is inviting an opportunity for us as the dance practitioner who may not have had that teacher certification type of framework, or someone who may not have pursued a degree that talks about the pedagogy of teaching, for us to explore and seek out our learning opportunities as well, so that we can broaden our artistic practice, so that we can shape and think through and have a continuum of reflection to develop our personal teaching practices and methods. Not everyone comes from a background where you're learning your artistic dance practice in a studio setting. Could have been in a community space. It could have been outside. It could have been in a space where socialization and different social dances are occurring, because it's cross-culturally, it's a different, there are different opportunities and different contexts as to how we learn our practices. So when we get to be in those environments, as well as maybe you'll see the differences when you come into a studio setting and how you have to now reshape and reform, okay, how am I going to teach this in a studio versus how am I teaching this in XYZ setting? So that also helps with, you have to really reflect on that and be cognizant of that, because that's also a developing methods of how we're going to teach our practices. Because not everyone is going to teach in an environment where there's mirrors on a wall. You know, it could be, what's the audio and auditory, what's the kinesthetic relationships that we have with the art form itself, that there's different ways of approaching it. So even the spaces that we've learned how to develop our artistic and teaching practice, we always have to reflect on that as well.
And it's an interesting dynamic to reflect upon.
Yes. So as I have this conversation about bringing content into classrooms, these are different ways that a student could connect with a particular subject matter, because the curriculum could be offered in one way. You have to, you know, sit down and listen, and then you're looking at the board, or you're at your desk and sit still and just receive what you're being taught. Sometimes you may need to do an experiential opportunity. Sometimes you may learn through that site-specific trip. It could be in various ways. So introducing, you know, different audiovisual aids, and what's the reflection and what's the questions that they may get to critically think through after and reflect on. There's different ways of using the art, integrating it into classroom, and also shifting the space of the said classroom and giving them other opportunities to experience the learning in different ways.
I'm very excited about your contributions to the book, and I will be making mention, folks, in a short while about where you can purchase the book and also about the launch that's coming up at the end of January. But before I do that, Coco, prior to the interview, you had shared that there's a gap between classroom teachers and artists. Can you expand upon that share?
Yes, absolutely. In my master's research, I published about the experience of the arts educator, and I call them cultural arts educator, from our community, because it's not just the dance, it could be the visual, it could be the music, etc. When you're arriving into different schools across the various years, there's specific experiences that we're facing as the educator when we arrive into those spaces. So it prompted one of my recommendations was to really think about, okay, well, what could be improved? One of the things I said was that the school boards, the school teachers, need to think about building better relationships with the artists. So as opposed to a guest artist arriving, doing a one-time engagement and leaving, and then it stops there, where's the intention? So this new chapter is really looking at what's the intention of bringing that artist in? Why are you bringing their form of art into the space? What's your understanding around that? And how are you going to collaborate where we do not, as artists, face any type of discrimination about our content and over who we are and what we are integrating into the classroom, and that you see value in what we bring, that it could also be included as part of the assessment, as opposed to an ad hoc opportunity, right? So where you build a relationship with the artists. And I tend to, in this chapter, I'm talking about educational partnerships and how the school, whether it's the school or the administration or even the classroom teacher, the gap that I'm seeing is the scholarly literature talks about the professional development of the teacher, the infrastructure of the school, how to integrate arts, but there isn't a conversation necessarily between the classroom teacher and the artists. The artists, if they are, they're never asked about their opinion, but if the artist does have an opportunity to talk about it, they may be a student that's studying an academic setting and they may publish and talk about their teaching experiences, but you never see a dialogue between the classroom teacher and the artist. So I'm trying to fill a gap in one capacity where, what would that conversation look like? As a practitioner that does come into the schools, what would I want to say to the teachers? What would I want for them to consider, for them to work with a network of different artists, as opposed to it's a one opportunity and then you've exited and then the educator goes back to the curriculum that's at hand.
Which is why I think it's important for folks to know that this publication is not only for educators.
That's true. It's also for schools, school boards. It's for, and the reason why my chapter is included, I feel it's also for the guest visiting artist to also look at as well. So those of us who are entrepreneurs that are teaching in various different school boards and organizations, they can also purchase this book as well.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Coco, the publication we've been speaking about, Arts-Based Pedagogies, Integrating Culturally Relevant Creative Processes in K-12 Education, is edited by Dr. Tanya Berg, who was recently on the show. How is the relevancy of that title captured in your chapter? And what would you like for folks who are partaking of the book to know about that?
What I would say to that is, we're having conversations with either beginning teachers or teachers who are doing professional learning development as part of their full-time employment. And there's conversation about using culturally relevant pedagogy. This is an approach that's also being incorporated with dance. And to expose people to culturally relevant art, be that the student, it's important that every educator that is going to arrive understands what the pedagogy is. At the same time, the dance educator's pedagogy, what I would like for people to understand is there is a responsibility for the artist to be aware of how their own bias and how they navigate belonging in the school where they teach. That is something that people may not think of when we arrive to teach in a particular school space. At the same time, the classroom educator, they may not have a dance background themselves because they're full-time educators that do a bachelor's of ed or a master's of ed, for example, that may not have a fine arts background. So you have educators from different vantage points coming together, but they're both teaching the student. So when the guest arrives, what I want people to be aware of is that the guest educator has to also consider their pedagogical considerations. There's a responsibility to understand themselves as they prepare for and arrive to teach, and to think about that holistically. So what's the positionality? What's the privileges? What's the barriers? What's the bias? What self-care do we have to undergo through for our own mental well-being? Because we're entering into a school that has competing priorities as well. The full-time educator is already handling that, but when we arrive, we are also entering that space as well. So we have to have a stronger sense of our pedagogy because we are navigating quickly with an environment that we're not in every day. So I want people to think about that as well. But the chapter goes into a lot of things that I want the classroom educator to think of or the school to think of, but also the dance educators as well, as they work together to collaborate on their collaboration, because they're both impactful in teaching the student.
Understanding personal biases does present the opportunity for a great amount of introspection and looking inward regarding our holistic way of being and approaches to pedagogy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So there are suggestions that I give for the dance educator to reflect on, but I also give suggestions for the classroom educator to also reflect on. And then I also give suggestions about the collaboration. This is a very deep chapter, and it's just part of my evolving work. I would want those who purchase the book, and even the listeners who may consider purchasing the book, to recognize that this is an evolving conversation that's happening within arts integration in schools and in the education sector. And this is a chapter that shows, I guess, my evolution since I've joined the doctoral program, but at the same time, an extension of my graduate work that is an extension of what I've experienced in classrooms and across school boards. And I'm just thinking on a macro level, how do my colleagues, how do the teachers that are going through their learning trajectories feel? How do the artists feel? But also thinking about a legacy of who's coming behind us. so they can think differently about how they approach teaching within the school systems as dance practitioners.
And as you reflect, Coco, upon your contributions to the book, are there any discoveries that you had, revelations?
I think the most important revelation is the more you become cognizant about how your teaching pedagogy, it becomes an ever-evolving practice of how do I learn and grow within my practice. So now when I approach my teaching assignments, so if anyone's approaching me to come and teach, it's now in the forefront of my mind about how am I going to prepare to come into the next space and what are the dynamics of set space that I'm entering. So I'm thinking about that wholeheartedly and seeing how can I have a conversation to find out some things than just be an artist that simply arrives and has no awareness and then teaches my engagement and then I don't know how much it impacted the students after I have exited the school.
Excellent. An important revelation indeed. Excellent. Well, I think it's important, of course, for folks to know where they can see you, because coming up on January the 31st, the 2025 Institute for Dance Studies keynote event is going to be happening. This is the Arts-Based Pedagogy's book launch. Both yourself and Dr. Tanya Berg will be there, and some of the other contributing authors will also be there. This is going to be happening at Hart House, at 7 Hart House Circle in Toronto. What can we expect, Coco?
Well, for those who attend, they will hear about the chapters of the book and also hear from the editor and also contributing author, Dr. Tanya Berg. But then I will also do a presentation that will show ways that we can have an embodied sense of learning.
And the attendees will be able to purchase the book on that day for a special but limited time 20% discount at the event. I'm looking so forward to sharing space with you, with Dr. Berg, with the other contributors, the wonderful contributors to the book. I'm looking so forward. And again, we want to remind folks, Friday, January 31st, it is free to attend this event. Again, it's happening at Hart House at 7 Hart House Circle in Toronto. And while there, take some time to take a peek and purchase the book. If you'd like to purchase the book in advance or after the event, you can do so at canadianscholars.ca. And Coco, call it Coco Murray. You have been a joy. Such a joy to speak with today. Thank you for the brilliance that you have shared during our broadcast this morning. And congratulations to you on all of the wonderful work that you have been doing in and outside of the classroom. So special to sit down and share space with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. And to the audience, it's one of my many publications of the last few years. So if you are interested in learning about and accessing some of my other publications, you can visit my website at www.missmissocomurray.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Coco.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. That was Colette Coco Murray here in the house with us. Always a pleasure to be in conversation with her. Now, the publication Arts-Based Pedagogies, Integrating Culturally Relevant Creative Processes in K-12 Education can be purchased online at canadianscholars.ca. The book is edited by Dr. Tanya Berg, who, as mentioned, was recently on the show, and that interview with Dr. Berg is now available and streaming online. And so, why arts integration? This important question is addressed in the book as embodied practices disrupting and decentering Eurocentric ways of teaching and knowing are explored. And we invite you folks to join us. Join us in the conversation and share your thoughts on some of the themes that we addressed today, including your questions and your shares about art as a language of learning and knowing. Some questions to consider. What methods come to mind when we're talking about the holistic well-being of educators and artists in learning spaces? And also, what needs to be fostered to meet and support the diverse needs of all? Written from a Canadian perspective, Arts-Based Pedagogies merges theory and practice, providing practical implementations of teaching, learning, evaluation, and assessments, as we discussed earlier. The contributors integrate Black, Indigenous, and queer experiences and are also leading educators in visual arts, dance, drama, and music. If you have an opportunity to pick a book up, let us know and let's begin a conversation together which examines teaching methodologies and practical strategies. More to come. Many thanks again to Colette Coco Murray. If you missed the top of today's episode, you can catch it again following this broadcast at ciut.fm, turnoutradio.com, and via some of your favorite podcast platforms where it will soon be streaming online. Turnoutradio.com is also where you can learn more about our program. And while there, we invite you to visit our extensive library of interviews, articles, and our resources page. And we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us via our contact page or email our production team at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. Coming up this season, stay tuned for announcements of our live audience interviews taking place in theater spaces both in Canada and abroad. And join us by following our socials to learn more about the performances and events that we are attending, hosting, and supporting. Up next, we're headed to Dance Immersion's 2025 Youth Showcase, which features Black-led dance studios and community groups in the general Toronto area, featuring Caribbean folk, contemporary West African fusion works, hip-hop, and so much more. That event occurs on February 1st at Meridian Arts Center Studio Theater in North York, and you can get your tickets by visiting danceimmersion.ca. This brings us to a close of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.